Yeah.
Hello, Kitty.
Hey. Linus is here because none of the rest of the family is, so.
That's the other thing we'll miss about Aaron. We'll miss Orange Cat and Jimmy.
It's true.
This is the 2020 Sports Trivia Face-Off Invitational Tournament.
That's right. This is the fourth quarterfinal of the Sports Trivia Face-Off Invitational Tournament. We have two fantastic contestants here today. We have no co-host. Brent is flying solo, so he is without adult supervision, so Lord knows what's going to happen in this episode. Our players today are Zach and Steve. Zach, would you please reacquaint yourself with our audience?
Yeah. All right. I'm Zach Nolick. I live in Glen Carbon, Illinois, which is just outside of St. Louis. But I'm coming to you today from a hotel room in Champaign, Illinois, which is kind of a long story. I'm not here for any particular purpose, but I am going to be going to the Indiana-Illinois basketball game this afternoon.
So
that's interesting. It's all kind of something that came together at the last minute. Yeah, I'm a fan of all things St. Louis, except for my alma mater, which is Arizona State. And thank you for choosing me to be a part of this tournament. I have lost a couple of times here, so it was slightly surprising. But I'm excited to give Steve a run for his money.
We also have Steve with us. Steve, would you reacquaint yourself with our audience?
Sure. I'm a reference and electronic resources librarian at Campbell University in Buies Creek, North Carolina, home of your regular season Big South women's basketball champions this year for the first time since 1991. So that's a big one. We haven't won a regular season championship in some time. I live in Raleigh, North Carolina. I keep getting questions about North Carolina on this show, so hopefully that can continue. It's great to be back. I love this show. I love playing trivia podcasts, and I love sports, so should be good. I have my Lions hoodie on because I like to tempt fate, I guess. I don't know what I'm doing. Durham Bulls underneath, so it's have like a rainbow of Durham Bulls shirts that I bought at clearance, so I have a red one on today for whatever reason.
I am celebrating the anniversary of the release of Dark Side of the Moon.
Oh, nice.
Sorry to report that serendipity. My shirt is just black.
Okay.
I have never listened to Dark Side of the Moon all the way through. Not on purpose. I just haven't happened to have done that. It's really funny. Like, I've heard every song on it, but...
Right.
Yeah.
Now that we know our players, let's go over the rules.
Here are the rules for the Sports Trivia Face-Off. Each player will get a chance to answer 5 questions in a category they choose. If they answer correctly, they get 10 points. If not, their opponent can answer on the rebound for 5 points. Twice per game, a player may challenge his opponent to answer a question first for 10 points, but the opponent can answer correctly for 15 points. 2 intermission questions are worth up to 10
Zach,
points.
I'm going to give you the honor and the duty of calling the toss of the coin. Would you like heads or would you like tails?
Let's go with heads.
Hey, Google, flip a coin.
You got heads.
Heads it is. So, Zach, you have won the toss. You have the opportunity to play or pass the first period categories. That'll determine what happens in the second period. And whoever is trailing, and I'm imagining in this game they won't be trailing by a lot, will be going first in the third period. Zach, your categories are bad performances this time with less sports, and Aaron's cats every time we record an episode.
Well, none of those are really, well, maybe I should just take something that sounds like it might be exactly what it is and go with bad performances.
Bad performances. These are 5 questions about bad sports performances.
Phew.
Number 1 in Super Bowl 12. What Broncos quarterback went an astonishing 4-for-15 with 39 yards and 4 interceptions before being pulled in the third quarter against the eventual champions and his former team, the Dallas Cowboys?
performance. Former cowboy, Bronco. I don't know. I'm going to have to pass.
Pass. Steve, do you have an answer?
Yeah, I used to watch all those John Facenda Super Bowl recaps, and the name Craig Morton sounds good when he says it. So,
okay. Craig Morton is correct for 5 points. Very good. Back to Zach for number two. The Rockets defeated the Knicks in Game 7 of the NBA Finals in 1994 when what Knicks shooting guard didn't show up to play, going 2 for 18 all night and shooting 0 for 10 in the fourth quarter?
Well, it's obviously not Patrick Ewing, and past that, I'm not really sure. Let's say I'm going to throw out a random name. No, that's not going to have any chance of being right. I'm just going to pass again. This is killing me.
No answer, Steve.
The 90s Rockets were my team. I was in Houston at the time. It's John Starks.
John Starks is correct. And with all those missed shots by Starks, the Knicks only lost by 6 points, making things even worse.
Yeah, I forgot that's true.
Yeah. Number three, and one of sport's most hilarious bits of fraud. Senegalese former Ali Dia convinced Southampton's manager that he was the cousin of what Ballon d'Or winner? He got substituted into the game and was so bad that he got substituted back out.
Okay, I have a vague feeling about this. Is it Thierry Henry?
It is not Thierry Henry. Steve?
I feel like this couldn't have happened in the internet era, so I'm not going to say Samuel Eto'o. I'm also not sure if he won the Ballon d'Or. He could have. There's not very many African winners. Is it George Weah?
It is George Weah. What a guess. Well done. I shouldn't say what a guess. You knew that one. What an answer.
It was a guess. Okay. I mean, it was an educated guess. I mean, like, well, Weah's from Liberia, so it's not like obvious.
Number four for Zach. In 1998, what man earned an impressive 0.0 passer rating in just his third professional start, going 1 for 15 with 4 yards and 2 picks?
Wait, you're not going to give me a team or anything?
That's me.
That was brutal.
I was like, what team did he say? And nope. Sorry.
Ryan pulled out the stops for the tournament, man. I'm telling you.
Okay. So I know 98 was this guy's rookie year. I know he had actually a surprisingly bad rookie year. So I'll say Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning is incorrect, Steve.
Yeah. Ryan Leaf.
It is Ryan Leaf.
Narrowed it down for me. I'm sorry. That it was better to go second on that one for sure.
Yeah. And number five, what career Philadelphian holds the Major League Baseball record for most golden sombreros, a game in which a player strikes out 4 times?
Let's see. I'll say Mike Schmidt.
Mike Schmidt is incorrect, Steve.
Yeah, wait. Narrowed down to 2 people again. Is it Ryan Howard?
It is Ryan Howard. He's put the category on rebounds.
I think I would have said Schmidt.
Oh, my God. So and brutal. The I'm sorry, guess man. What the other name I was thinking was.
Yeah. I'm not, like, laughing evilly here. I just feel... I feel guilty for what's
happened. You've earned one evil laugh, I would say.
That's fair.
Steve, we are to you. You have to choose between bad performances this time with less sports and Aaron's cats every time we record an episode.
Less sports would be like anthems or half times. Aaron's cats every time we record an episode are... What are they doing? They're like bleeping things. They're like always mugging for the camera. I don't know. I'm trying to think what this could be. I don't know how much I really want. I don't know how much I want to answer questions about the singing or whatever that's going to be. You know what, though? That's kind of an area that I enjoy. Let's do that one. Let's do the second bad performances with less sports one.
Bad performances this time with less sports. These are 5 questions about bad non-sports performances involving sports.
Yeah.
So
what was expected, I suppose.
Yeah, I think so. Number one, at what yearly event in 2018 did Fergie give us an absolutely laughable performance of the national anthem?
Yeah, it was... I'm trying to remember what time of year this was. I'm trying to find an anchor for it. I think it was the NBA All-Star game.
It was the NBA All-Star game for 10 points. Steph Curry, among other players, were visibly chuckling during the song. She also tried to do a rendition of Sweet Child of Mine when the Black Eyed Peas brought Slash out for their halftime show, and that went just about as well as you would expect.
Yeesh.
Number two, in 1989... someone thought a good idea for the Super Bowl halftime show would be having someone do an audience-wide card trick with bad 3D special effects in the background. Who was this magician dressed as?
Dressed as? Oh, goodness. I think I've heard this, but I'm trying to remember. Elvis?
Elvis is correct for 10 points.
Lucky. All right.
His name was Elvis Presto.
That's pretty good, actually.
Wonderful. It, I mean, if you're going to be an Elvis magician.
Yeah, if you're going to do that, lean into it and give it a really awful name like that. Number three. In 1990, Roseanne gave a memorably off-key performance of the national anthem. She claimed because she had to sing loudly to hear herself over the other noise in the stadium. This occurred at a game hosted in Jack Murphy Stadium, the home of what Major League Baseball team?
The Padres.
The Padres is correct for 10 points, and it was especially embarrassing because San Diego is such a big military town.
Oh, yeah.
And she did the thing where she grabbed her crotch and spit afterwards, saying she was making fun of baseball players, and it just... it was very Roseanne-like. We'll just put it that way.
Now she would just say she was high on Ambien the whole time.
If given the option to use Roseanne, don't use Roseanne. It seems like a correct answer most of the time.
Yeah, exactly. Number four. About what movie did Bleacher Report write, LeBlanc's co-star, a baseball-playing monkey, actually outperforms him in the film?
Yeah, this is called... I mean, I know it's the... Yeah, I mean, it's the baseball-playing monkey with Matt LeBlanc in it. And I think the name that the movie has is like the name of the monkey, which makes, is it Ed?
It is Ed for 10 points.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with the very good sitcom Ed.
Yes. And number five, what 2002 movie full of awful performances is about a men's basketball player who gets banned for life from the sport and becomes a female impersonator to play in the professional women's league instead?
I think I remember hearing recently that a Juana Mann.
Juana Mann is correct for 10 points.
There was a conversation about it being the Charlotte WNBA team that no longer exists. I think
before
the movie.
And Ryan's commentary is, you guys, it's seriously so bad.
You wouldn't expect it to be good.
No. The premise doesn't exactly scream Oscar Award nominee. That takes us to the first intermission. I'm going to give you a title of a song, and you need to name the university whose fight song has that name. Number one, The Victors. Number two, Tiger Rag. Number three, Dynamite. And number four, Bula Bula. While these guys think about their answers, I'm going to give you a promo that has no fight song. If you enjoy the Sports Trivia Face-Off, please consider contributing on Patreon at patreon.com/sportstriviafaceoff. And if you're already a contributor, thanks. We are back with the guys' answers to these fight song universities. Zach, we'll start with you. Number one, The Victors.
Is that Michigan?
And Steve?
I said Michigan.
It is Michigan for 5 points apiece.
Ooh. on the board.
Number two to Steve, Tiger Rag.
I figured LSU.
And Zach?
Yeah, I also said LSU.
And the answer is Clemson.
Okay.
Okay. Number three to Zach, Dynamite.
I have no idea on this one. I threw out a wild guess of Georgia Tech.
And Steve?
I said Colorado because there's mining in that state. That's my entire reason.
Well, Zach, you were geographically closer. The answer is Vanderbilt.
Wow. Okay.
And Steve, number four, Bula Bula.
Is Yale University.
And Zach?
That makes a lot of sense. I threw out another wild guess of Wisconsin.
It is indeed Yale University. So, Steve, you picked up 10. Zach, you picked up 5. That takes us to the second period. Steve has a score of 85. Zach has a score of 5. But everything can turn around in the second and third periods. There's no reason Zach can't do exactly what Steve did in the first period. Steve, your categories to pick from are Chevy SUVs, Ford SUVs, or Let It Go.
Well, a Chevy SUV is a Blazer, and a Ford SUV is an Explorer. And of the options available, I think I will go with, since it's more controlled, I'll go with Chevy SUVs and assume they're all UAB questions.
Chevy SUVs, these are 5 questions about the Portland Trailblazers.
Woot!
Number one. In a 1984 game against the Bulls, the Blazers combined with Chicago to achieve a record 87 what during their quadruple overtime thriller?
Quad overtime game in 1984 would have been like, what could this be? So there's the options are like made free throws, maybe. That doesn't feel fouls. Certainly didn't. Field goals is right out. Personal fouls?
Personal fouls is correct for 10 points.
Woot.
Number two, the Blazers have had 4 players in their history elected to the Basketball Hall of Fame and make the NBA 50th anniversary team. 2 of them are Clyde Drexler and Bill Walton. Please name either of the other 2 who more memorably played for other teams.
So these are players who ever played for the Blazers and are in the Hall of Fame and are on the 50th anniversary team?
Correct.
I don't want to say names. You know, it's like horrible to listen to because I don't want to give options. I'm so terrified this is going to be obvious. I'm like thinking through people on the 50th anniversary team now, which is like horrible and lengthy. I'm sorry about that. Elvin Hayes?
Elvin Hayes is incorrect, Zach.
Okay. If it's not this, I don't think I have it. So I'm just going to hope that he was established enough by this time. Because 50th anniversary would be in the mid-90s, mid to late 90s. And I'm going to say Scottie Pippen.
Scottie Pippen is correct. The other one is Lenny Wilkins. So that's good for a 5-point rebound. Number three. On that note, 2 players in the Basketball Hall of Fame played for the Blazers and have also been elected to the FIBA Hall of Fame. Name either of those 2 players.
That feels like I can probably name both. I'm going to try. I'll just say Sabonis. I think that's obvious.
Arvydas Sabonis is correct. Drazen Petrovic is the other one. Correct for 10 points. The FIBA Hall of Fame, for those that don't know, is for players that made outstanding contributions to international basketball. And Petrovic was an inaugural inductee. Was Drazen Petrovic the one that was killed in the car accident?
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
He was like on the last Yugoslavia team with like Divac and Kukoc that was super good. And
gotcha.
Like could have conceivably won the NBA championship if they had been an NBA team. Yeah.
Knew that name sounded familiar for some reason.
He was on the Nets after
the
Blazers. Like he was a star for the Nets, not really the Blazers though.
Gotcha. Number four, Carmelo Anthony recently came out of not quite retirement, not quite able to get acquired status to play for the Blazers. What 2-digit number is he wearing this season?
Yeah, is it his age? What is he doing? There's some kind of thing that he's on about, and I can't remember. Oh, you know what, though? No, he's wearing double zero.
Double zero is correct for 10 points. Zach had that one. He was all over it.
Sorry, man.
It's okay. It's your question.
And number five, the estate of what deceased business magnate currently owns the Blazers franchise?
I sort of know this stuff, but I don't, like, participate in it. Well, deceased, so it isn't that. Is it Paul Allen?
It is Paul Allen for 10 points. Oh. He was the co-founder of a little company called Microsoft. Zach, we are to you. You have to choose between Ford SUVs and Let It Go.
I like the looks of Let It Go.
Let It Go. These are five questions about the Frozen Four.
Oh, boy. Okay. Sure.
Number one, the Bulldogs of what university have won the two most recent NCAA Division I men's ice hockey championships?
That would be, I think, Minnesota Duluth.
Minnesota Duluth is correct. They were also runners-up in 2017 to the Denver Pioneers. Number two, the 2020 Frozen Four is set to take place in Little Caesars Arena. What arena did it replace as home of the Red Wings?
Joe Louis Arena.
Joe Louis Arena is correct. It was the home arena of the Red Wings, and then when they built the new arena, the Pistons moved in to share Little Caesars Arena. The Pistons previously played at the Palace of Auburn Hills. Although I think there were a couple of seasons when the Pistons played at Joe Louis, if I'm not mistaken.
They played some games at Joe Louis. I think they split some time between there and the Silver Dome. But the Joe Louis, I think, post-dates the Palace. I'm from Michigan.
Florida, gotcha.
North Carolina. And they definitely played at the Silver Dome a lot. I saw some games there. It's not a good place for basketball.
It doesn't sound like it.
It's extremely flat. Like, if you're in the back of the first deck, you're extremely far away. I can't even describe. Well,
just seeing the atmosphere when they have the Final Four in a football building, it just seems dead.
Yeah.
It's hard to get noise in there.
It isn't. You know, it's so sad. Like, on the ground, it's fine. But, yeah, it doesn't feel. Yeah, I agree.
Number three, what coach led the Minnesota Golden Gophers to three Frozen Four titles during the 1970s?
Is that Herb Brooks?
It is Herb Brooks. He also coached a slightly more memorable team in 1980. Number four, the successful team over at Lake Superior State have won three Frozen Four titles. In what city of Michigan's Upper Peninsula would you find Lake Superior State?
Oh, boy. Well, I definitely don't want to challenge. Just not
that is knowing. A solid choice you have made.
Don't know very don't much about that. The UP. Just because it's a city that I know is in the Upper Peninsula, I'm going to say Sault Ste. Marie.
Sault Ste. Marie is correct for 10 points.
Ask me to name a second city in the Upper Peninsula. I can't.
Yeah.
Number five. What university that has won 11 national titles in football won six of the first nine Frozen Four titles during the 40s and 50s, including 1948 when they won the championship in both sports?
You can narrow this down a little bit just because so few schools actually have Division I hockey. Let's go with Notre Dame.
Notre Dame is incorrect. Steve?
Is it just Michigan?
It is Michigan.
Same logic you had, for sure.
It was one of those two, or it was Ohio State.
Yeah, that takes us to the second intermission question. This question is about the MLS. Name the five worst teams by points in the season end standings of the inaugural 1996 MLS season.
What?
God.
The five worst teams by points.
That's Ryan Clefcorn Myers at holythisishard.com.
Jesus.
And while these guys are doing that, here is an here's a promo.
you have a question or category suggestion, or you'd like to appear on the Sports Trivia Faceoff, always feel free to send an email to brent@sportstriviafaceoff.com or join the Sports Trivia Faceoff group on Facebook.
We are back with the guys' guesses at the worst MLS teams at the end of their inaugural 1996 season. Zach, what were your teams that you listed?
I can't even guarantee that these were all teams in the inaugural season, but here we go. I have the New York, New Jersey Metro Stars, the San Jose Earthquakes, original edition, I think were around then, Dallas Burn, Tampa Bay Mutiny, and Miami Fusion. I'm not even sure if I got all the names right, but that's what I got.
All righty. And Steve?
Okay. I have the Colorado Rapids, who I think are like maybe among the worst teams in MLS history. New England, the San Jose, whatever the heck. I'm not sure they were the Earthquakes originally, but I'm going to say San Jose, and then you can adjudicate. Right. Kansas City and Columbus.
The answers are, with 29 points, the Colorado Rapids. With 33 points, the New England Revolution. With 37 points, the Columbus Crew.
Lucky.
And tying with 39 points, the New York, New Jersey Metro Stars and the San Jose Clash, which became the Earthquakes, and I gave that one to you guys since you both had it.
I 100% agree that he should get credit for that one.
Zach, you picked up 10. Steve, you picked up 20. That makes our score at this point, Steve, 150. Zach has 60. You're still within striking distance, Zach. It is the third period. You get to choose first. These categories are Tom Sawyer, New World Man, and Oki from Muskogee. I don't know if Rush ever did a cover of Oki from Muskogee, but those are your categories.
Let's go with, I don't know, New World Man.
New World Man. These are five questions about innovations in sports.
Okay.
Number one, Ken Hawk Harrelson, a player with the Athletics, Senators, Red Sox, and Indians, is generally credited as being the person to modernize the use of what in games, though the ones he initially used were made for golf.
I'll say spikes, like cleats, shoes.
Spikes is incorrect. Steve?
I was all queued up to say you can put it on the board. Yes. Yeah. But I guess that leaves gloves. Batting gloves?
Batting gloves is correct for 5 points. Number two, back to Zach. Most of the focus of the October 12th, 1979 game at Boston Garden was focused on Larry Bird's debut. But what did Chris Ford do that game for the first time ever? Something both Bird and Dave Cowens tried but failed to and accomplished through that game.
Did he shoot free throws underhanded?
That is incorrect. Steve?
Make a three-pointer.
The three-point field goal is correct. Ford later went on to coach the Celtics from 1990 to 1995.
Shoot, I always forget that that had to migrate from the ABA.
Yeah.
The craziest part is when it came over to the NCAA. I don't know if you've watched games. It's like 83 or 84. And it wasn't even in the tournament yet, but like some of the regular season games, they had a 3-point line and it was about a 17 footer. Like,
wow.
It's terrifying. It like didn't go through the top of the key all the way.
Oh, wow.
Like,
oh, wow.
Yeah. It was like way too short and they, you know, figured out that that was not where you put that.
Not much longer
for a while. They're in like ACC regular. Yeah, like I was watching like some Gene Banks or like Jim Spanarkle like Duke highlights. Pretty funny. Yeah. The ones who say, like, wow, that's easy. Like, anyway, go ahead.
Number three, back to Zach. Which two high scoring Blackhawks legends of the 60s changed the game by starting to curve their sticks for an advantage over goalkeepers?
Man, I don't know when this guy played, but it very well could have been the 60s. I'm not sure. I'll say Bobby Hull and Stan Mikita.
You are correct for 10 points.
the correct answer to Name Two Old Blackhawks. That was all I had.
Well, there was Tony Esposito.
Sure. It would have been weird if it was him, though.
Yeah. Fair point. In 1970, the NHL banned any stick curvature more than half an inch. Just ask Marty McSorley. Number four. What did William Taylor first patent in 1908 after seeing players purposely damage their balls to try and gain an advantage?
I have no idea. I've never heard this story before, but this is something that makes sense. I'll say that he invented a dimpled golf ball.
Bang on for 10 points.
Very good. I had no clue initially, and then I was like, now wait a minute. Good.
Players quickly figured out that damaged, dented balls flew further due to less resistance, and Taylor capitalized on that. I'm guessing that's where Taylor made comes from.
Oh, I want to know now. We should look that up so that we can.
Yeah.
Well, it must be.
And number five, whose 1989 Tour de France win is sometimes credited to his use of aero bars, narrower, sleeker, and more aerodynamic handlebars?
I'm going to challenge.
Steve, you've been challenged.
I mean, yeah, I would go ahead. Yeah, you know, kind of reading Sports Illustrated for Kids around that time. I'm going to go with Greg LeMond.
Greg LeMond is correct for 15 points.
And it was only after I challenged that I thought of that name.
Ouch.
Yeah,
LeMond overcame a 50-second deficit to win the tour. Steve, we are to you. You have to choose between Tom Sawyer and Oki from Muskogee.
Tom Sawyer is from Missouri. And he's, and then Oki from Muskogee is Merle Haggard. It's questions about athletes named Merle. They don't smoke marijuana in Muskogee. I think that's the first line. Just Oklahoma sports, maybe. I like Merle Haggard too much not to ask for Oki from Muskogee here.
Oki from Muskogee. These are five questions about Oklahoma sports.
Fair enough.
Number one, what team was the current coach of the Oklahoma City Thunder in charge of from 1996 to 2015?
That would be Eddie Munster himself, Billy Donovan. So it would be the University of Florida men's basketball team.
That is correct for 10 points. He won back-to-back titles with the Gators in 06 and 07. Number two, who has been the head coach of the Sooners men's basketball team since 2011?
Jeez. It was Jeff Capel, and this person would replace him then, right? So that's... Is it Lon Kruger?
It is Lon Kruger for 10 points.
Noted coach of the University of Florida as well. I think we'll find. Maybe that's the secret here.
Number three. In 1945 and 1946, the Oklahoma State Cowboys won back-to-back college basketball titles. What was the name of the university during that time?
Hank Iba's Oklahoma A&M University.
A&M is correct for another 10 points. They made the finals the following year too, but lost to a Kentucky team coached by Adolph Rupp.
Yeah, my recollection is that Iba coached so long after that he was the coach during like the Munich screw job, like in the Olympics, like in
Really. Number four, you might expect them to be an affiliate of a different NHL team based on their name, but what is the name of the minor league hockey team that plays their home games in Tulsa?
I see. I presume that means they're not affiliated with the Edmonton Oilers, but maybe that means they're the Oilers, but the Drillers is a baseball team, so they're probably not called the Drillers also. So maybe they just are called the Tulsa Oilers. That's what I'm going to go with.
Oilers is correct. They are affiliate of my St. Louis Blues.
Oh, okay. Have they been around longer? Like, do they predate the Edmonton Oilers?
I don't know. I would doubt it.
Okay.
That has been a team name for a while, though. and
has it? Okay.
Tulsa, I mean, obviously has its own separate oil history, so it's
it's the correct thing to name a team from Tulsa.
Yeah. Number five, the Sooners of Oklahoma University take their name from what famous historical event?
I think that's the land rush?
The Oklahoma land rush, that is correct for 10 points. Our score right now is 225 for Steve, 80 for Zach. Mm. We will come around with the shootout after you hear how it works.
In the shootout, both players take a shot at being the closest to the correct answer of three questions. If either player is closer on more questions than the other, they get 20 points. If a player is closer on all three questions, they get 50 points. If a player is within 10% of the correct answer on all three questions, they are awarded an extra 100-point
hat-trick
bonus.
Number one, in years, the age of Jim Thorpe, if he were alive today. Number two, the number of wins Billie Jean King earned in her singles tennis career. And number three, the number of personal fouls Shaquille O'Neal committed in his NBA career. These guys are going to think about the shootout and do some mental math. You guys are going to hear this.
Planning your own trivia event? Visit the Trivia Night Guy at TriviaNightGuy.com to purchase trivia questions in all categories for an event that will give your audience a challenging and fun night of trivia.
We are back with the guy's answers to the shootout. Number one, we'll start with Zach. How many years old would Jim Thorpe be if he were alive today?
I had an inkling that he was born in the 1890s, so I said 125.
And Steve?
I straight went with 1890, so I have 130.
And the answer is 132.
Yeah. Wow.
So, Zach, you were off by 7. Steve, you were off by only 2. Well done.
Lucky.
Number two, the number of wins Billie Jean King earned in her singles tennis career. Steve?
I just don't know. I mean, I know she won like 12-ish 14-ish singles grand slams maybe, but like I don't know. I mean, I don't know how many tournaments they played back then. I think there were less. I said 950, which is just like kind of a number. I didn't have much to base that on. It's gonna be like a lot, but I don't know what a lot is. I have no idea.
And Zach.
Yeah, I think it's telling that I had very similar logic to you and a completely different answer. So I have just a number. I have 450.
And the answer is 695. So, Zach, you were off by 245. Steve, you were off by 255. So, ooh. Zach picks up the win on that one.
See how good that would have been if we averaged them?
And number three, the number of personal fouls Shaquille O'Neal committed in his NBA career. Zach?
Yeah, just, again, sort of vague math on this that you think maybe he had a couple of fouls per game, trying to guess how many games he played per year and how long his career was. So I might have lowballed this, but I ended up with 1,296.
And Steve?
I did some math and then went lower than it. It was kind of like he played like 18-ish seasons, and I put 80 games a season, realized that was definitely not how much he played because of injuries and stuff. And then I figured kind of 3 fouls a game, so I went with 3,601. The one was just for fun.
The answer is 4,146. Oh, wow. So, Steve, you were off by 545. Zach, you were off by a little bit more than that.
That's like 3.5 a game then? That sounds about right for interior players. That sounds reasonable. Yeah.
Steve, you win the shootout and pick up an extra 20 points. And Steve, you will be moving on to the semifinals in the tournament with a 245-80 victory over Zach.
Not fair.
The first period was kind of it for you guys.
Well, hey, listen, I've got your kind of scores here for round by round, and you only got one of your questions wrong. So there was nothing I could have done. So you definitely
guess not. I'm definitely glad you had the Frozen Four category. I think I had three-ish of those, right? Like off the bat, maybe not even three, maybe just two.
Yeah, so. That one scared. Thanks. That one scared me, and then that ended up being the only category I really held my own on.
You did well considering.
Yeah,
it's
did.
It's hilarious. I used to play NAQT. I used to play NAQT Quiz Bowl, and there were definitely a couple of people in the NAQT office that were like advocating for Frozen 4 questions, and the random sort for the D2 national finals in some year, 2000 maybe, had two college hockey questions in the same round of Collegiate Quiz Bowl. This isn't a trash tournament. This is a pop culture themed tournament. This is a tournament where you also answer questions about opera and stuff. And there were two college hockey questions. People were not pleased. You can probably imagine. Because the number of college hockey questions should be zero almost always and one occasionally.
You get one in maybe every 5 years.
Yeah. Anyway.
Wow.
Zach, unfortunately, you have been eliminated. Is there anything you'd like to say in closing?
Well, I'm not all that surprised. I knew what I was going up against today, and he definitely showed out. Thanks for having me in this tournament. I have been lucky to come up with some wins in some of the other times I've played and had some losses as well, but it's a lot of fun. I love this show, and good luck in the next round, Steve. I think that you're probably the one who's most likely to win this thing, in my opinion.
Well, now I can't. I appreciate you saying that. This broke very well for me in the first round. I wouldn't have expected to get 10 right. But yeah, thanks for having me again as well. And it's really exciting to be on this. Everyone should, whether or not you did by the point this drops, come find me on Facebook and play my 100 question mystery quiz that I wrote for a fundraiser I'm doing for Campbell. You know, with Brent's permission, I may post that on the group so that I can maybe raise more money. But it's a 100 question mystery quiz for everybody who wants to play. So.
Permission granted.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. It's all for a good cause. We're trying to renovate our one of our meeting rooms into an archive space that will also still serve as a meeting room so that we can, like, kind of people can actually hang out with stuff that's relevant to the history of the college. So that's pretty cool.
Okay.
Turns out that when you start as a prep school and are like a junior college from 1927 to 1961, and then like you become a full-fledged university in 1992, like you don't end up with the kind of traditional accoutrements that other schools have. So we're trying to pick up on that, But it's cool. We've only ever had five presidents. So it's like very, it's like the Kings of England or something, people were there for 25 years. So we do know our history. It's just not present. So.
All righty. And before we go, I want to thank all the listeners out there. This is actually episode number 100. It's a shame this has to be our first episode without Aaron, but this is episode number 100 of the Sports Trivia Face-Off. So I wanted to thank all the listeners and all the Patreon contributors for sticking with me this long. This has gone on about six times longer than I expected it would.
You're definitely in the top, half of 1% of podcasts who made it to episode 100. That has to be true, right?
Something like that, yeah. So thank you to everybody who listens and posts in the group and spread the word. Contribute to us on Patreon. Give us iTunes reviews. That all can help. And thank you all very much. For Zach and Steve, my name is Brent. We will see you next time you download.
This has been the Sports Trivia Face-Off. Thank you very much for listening. The Sports Trivia Face-Off is hosted by Brent Bollmeyer. Questions are written by Ryan Clefcorn Myers. And the Sports Trivia Face-Off is recorded, edited, and produced by Brent Bollmeyer.
Number one in Super Bowl 12. Ryan's, I got to teach Ryan to put the Roman numerals with the Arabic thing next to it, so I don't have to go. Number one in Super
the,
Bowl.
The games 12. Of the GZV Olympiad.
Yeah, the, in Super Bowl.
I mean, I'm just going to be picking teams out of a hat. How am I supposed to know this?
And number five. What university that has won 11 national? God damn it! I need a co-host. It's now proven.